Dash has recently developed a fondness for York peppermint patties.
Ew.
Sarah had some. Dude, they're so good, man. Sarah and I both love these. Like, literally, I just ate an Andes mint.
Y'all keep... Oh, see, keep all that up there, man.
They're so good,
dude. No.
They're so good.
I bet you like Peeps, too, don't you?
No, I hate Peeps.
Okay.
Peeps are disgusting. We can agree on that. Sarah had a York, and Dash was like, me. She's like, all right, I'll give you a bite. So she gave him like this little bite, and he was like, oh, and she goes, that's a York. And he goes, yolk. And so now he like walks around going, yolk, 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 yolk. And that's, I'm like, no, you can't have another one.
Don't ever take him to a gym, because every time he hears that dude's yoked, he's going to be like, yolk?
I want some.
Yeah.
Yoked.
Dash is yoked. Yoked up with some York.
York mints.
York patties.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh, sorry, no.
They're so good, dude.
No.
What about the Girl Scout Thin Mints?
Okay, so I'm not the right sample, because I the first time I had Girl Scout cookies was when I was like 30.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
And they were good because my daughter started like selling them. So I started like getting high on my own supply.
Yeah.
Well, getting high on my daughter's supply.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. And then I had to stop, much like.
So do you not like chocolate with mint, like, at all?
I don't mind it if it's what's for dinner.
I hope that's not your dinner.
No, I did eat a bunch of, I found some like Nestle, like chocolate chips, like a big ass bag of them that you're supposed to mix with cookie dough.
Correct.
They got left behind. And I was like, Kirk Cameron left behind. And, and I was like, oh, I'm going to rapture up these. So I was just eating them earlier and trying to, you know, how, you know, how recently on the show I was like, hey, dates are really good.
Yeah.
I had to stop eating them.
Oh no.
I couldn't control myself.
Oh,
I couldn't control myself with the dates.
Yeah.
I was eating too much fruit. I started like counting my calories on the MyFitnessPal. It was like, hey, like 6 dates is like 300 calories. And I was like, go, I'm eating like 31 dates.
That's crazy.
And so I was like, okay, I'll just break them up. I'll freeze them. And then I'll be forced to like let them thaw.
Mm.
I sucked on frozen dates, baby.
Dude, dates are really good.
They're so good. And it came to the point I couldn't moderate. And so I had to make a decision. I have to stop buying them. Yeah.
So the very first time I ever had dates was at this like Braves like fundraiser. It was not a fundraiser. It was like some weird like clubhouse thing. I don't know.
We ran out of money. Was this in the early 90s before the World Series?
The MLB was really hurting.
A policeman's ball.
Yes. I don't know what it was, man. It's like a clubhouse deal. I don't know. It was like, these are big wigs. They've got their passes and whatever. Anyway, like, so I go to this thing, I'm working it, and they have like past hors d'oeuvres, and they bring out these like candied bacon wrapped dates. And I'm like, I've never had a date. Let me try this. And dude, I was like, instantly hooked. And so I was like, this is amazing. And this is the best thing I've ever eaten. Bottom line, like, dates are phenomenal on their own.
Yeah.
But now wrap them in bacon and brown sugar.
Oh my God.
That sucker is delicious.
You know, I already loved deviled eggs. And then like, we went to a wedding one time and someone had fried deviled eggs.
What?
I don't know how
somebody deep fried a like, deviled egg.
Yeah. Oh, they deep fried like a whole bucket of deviled eggs, and about half of them went into my tum-tums.
Wow.
And yeah. So like, and I remember I was staring at like, how do they do this? Because like anything fried is kind of like, you know, kind of weird look. It looks kind of like a rock.
Yeah.
This looked like when you gently blow insulation on mm-hmm. something, it's like a, mm-hmm. it's like a light, like it's like snow.
Yep.
It looked like they had just taken a deep fry machine, mm-hmm. a deep fry hose.
Yes.
And just kind of lightly hosed it with like, it almost looked like fake. Like how could they have dipped a deviled egg so like smooth and perfect looking into a vat with a bunch of other ones and had it come out looking so like lightly touched?
Huh.
That's what you call a professional, because it was good. And after that, I was like, next time I have a normal deviled egg, it's gonna suck.
This is the South, man. Like we deep fry everything. So Sarah introduced me like a few years ago to deep fried Oreos. And I was like, I have no idea what this is, but they do it at like carnivals and fairs and stuff.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is one ridiculous. I don't love Oreos like just in general, but like, I was like, this is ridiculous. The deep fried Oreo, pretty darn good. But I'm like, but how do you do it? And why did you think of doing it? But the thing that really kills me that I'd like to try just for the sheer novelty of it is deep fried ice cream. Because I'm like, I don't understand how you can put ice cream in a vat of boiling oil mm-hmm. and it not just immediately, you know, disintegrate into nothing.
I imagine it turns into like a, basically like a yogurt ball.
Yeah, pretty much. Know? It's like, I've watched videos on how to do it. And I'm like, it's still like, my brain's just like, but how?
The other day, my daughter was like, how does dry ice work? How can it be dry? And I was like, look, I don't know.
She sounds like Jerry Seinfeld. How can it be dry?
Wait a second now. What's the deal with dry ice?
What's the deal with dry ice?
I interrupted her. I was like, listen, I don't know. I said, I'm going to stop you right there. I have no fucking clue. I don't know how they do that.
Can't tell you.
Yeah.
Yep.
She'll ask me stuff and I try really hard not to go, hey, just Google it. Cause that's like the depth of asking me things.
Yeah. Right. Yep.
And, but I was like, I sincerely don't know. I've never understood. Yeah. I just know you're not supposed to touch it with your bare flesh, but I don't know if it's because it'll burn you or freeze you. I don't know. I don't know. Dry ice. So it doesn't sound hot. It's like, it's not like, it's like liquid nitrogen. I don't know. I don't know how it works. I said ice, it may not even be ice. It might just be a name.
Yeah. Well, what kills me is, so I guess they sell dry ice at like grocery stores. But I'm like, who's buying it? I've never been in a situation where dry ice would have come in handy.
I don't even know what it's for.
I've never sat around and going, oh, you know what I could have used? Dry ice.
Yeah, you should use some dry ice. Hold on a second. What I is don't understand. Dry ice for?
Like, are enough people using dry ice on the daily?
It's trying to prompt me. What is dry ice formula? What is dry ice for? What is dry ice? Colloquially means the solid form of carbon dioxide. It's commonly used for temporary refrigeration as CO2 does not have a liquid state at normal atmospheric pressure and sublimes directly from the solid state to the gas state.
Hmm.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah. So basically ice that doesn't melt, it just evaporates. Yeah.
Right. Yep. Interesting.
Huh.
That's cool.
So it really be useful to put dry ice in like whiskey or other alcoholic beverages.
Well,
so that you don't water them down
and get drunk faster. what I've always heard is like, so if you buy like, this podcast is not sponsored by, you know, Butcher Block or whatever that's called. You know what I'm talking about? The Butcher Box, whatever it is. It's obviously not, we're not sponsored by them because I don't even know their name, but they
said in their copy, it's okay if we fuck up their name. They don't care.
Okay, great. They ship their items straight to your door in dry ice.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, well that's cool, I guess, but what do I do with the dry ice? How do I dispose of this? What do I do?
Can I put it in the sink or is it?
That's the thing. Well, we sent you fire.
Yeah.
What do I do with this?
I know how to
extinguish a flame. How do I extinguish a solid?
Can I throw it in my yard and just let the elements take care of it? Or will this kill my grass and the nearby ecosystem?
I was going to say a bird swoops down and grabs it and immediately.
You can't. You watch out or the deer are going to eat it.
Yeah.
I was listening to some.
But the deer are going to look awesome for 4 minutes.
They'll just be breathing out vapor.
They've got like vapor, like just, they look like a Pokemon. Like, it's like a Ponyta.
It looked like the kid who served me my sub the other day vaping. Just give him a nose ring and a minimum wage job.
A 19-year-old kid named Rex.
I was listening to somebody the other day lambasting podcasts in general, like why he doesn't listen to them.
Yeah.
Doing some fake one. And then he said, sponsored by some sort of mail order box service that honestly doesn't make sense in this economy.
It's so true. I was looking at one of them the other day for meat. And I was like, okay, all right. So once a month,
it's like $86 for
yeah. Dude, it was like $200 a month.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't like, okay. So what I now have to do is figure out how much I spend every month on meat.
I love meat.
Then I have to, then I have to figure out how much leftover meat am I going to have and how long is it going to be good for? And once I cancel this service in 6 months, because I've spent $18,000 on meat, what am I going to have left over? And how do I have the freezer space? I have to buy a freezer.
You know what? I want to start one. Anyone can have this because I'm not going to actually do this. I want to start one called Tackle Box, and it's just fish. It's just seafood, because for God's sake, like even if all those services made sense,
sure,
it's like, okay, but that's like way more red meat than you're recommended to eat if you don't want to get colon cancer or have high blood pressure. So it's like, can we just get one that's just bass?
Right.
The thing is, bass box.
I've always wondered about, like, so there's a certain like personality or whatever that like really loves mystery boxes. And so like J.J. Abrams. I went to a store recently. I met up with John and we went to the store that we always go to, and they had these things sitting out front that was like, it was like $15 or something. It was a mystery box, and it was like 20 DVDs or Blu-rays, but you don't know what you're going to get. Right. So it's just like, buy these things for $15. I'm like, all right, number one, this is you clearing out your inventory. It's not going to be anything good. You're not making any guarantee. Like if I had bought like a Pokemon card, like a pack of Pokemon cards when I was 10, there's a guaranteed rare in there. You're guaranteeing me nothing. Like
this could just be every Godzilla movie.
this could be every Vince Vaughn movie from the past 20 years. And I don't care about a single one of them. The switch up, the change up, whatever that was called. The one where he donates to the sperm bank and then finds like, he's got a million kids. What was that called?
Oh,
the switch up, the dad. I don't know. What was it? Called?
I'm afraid to Google Vince Vaughn sperm. So there was a Jason Bateman one with him and Aniston.
Yeah, but it's not that one.
But you're right. It's the fact that there's even two for us to confuse is appalling.
Delivery Man.
That's right.
It's called Delivery Man. So it could literally be 10 copies of Delivery Man.
Or it could be like, and maybe Wedding Crashers is in there, but maybe. Still.
Sure. But like, if you don't already have Wedding Crashers, it's because you don't want it.
Well, you may not have it, Dustin, because an airport employee stole it from your luggage.
That's unique to only you. I don't understand why people like that, but I was like, if it's that easy, dude, I'll just create a thing online that's like, I'll send you 15 random items for $20.
Yeah.
Like, I'll go through my house. I can find 15 things real quick.
Dustin box. Yeah.
You never know what it's going
to
be.
Yeah. Like, oh, I got three socks to get rid of and some legal pads I'm not sure I'm going to use.
A random pack of playing cards. Thank you. I don't know. These are used. And it's missing all of the queens for some reason. I don't get this.
Yeah.
Why not?
Hey, everyone's getting well. It's good. You know, like they're trying to, and the podcasters are showing them and they're just trying to, hey, I mean, let's put it this way. As much as I have just said, this is a ridiculous concept. If every single box service offered to give us money, for their services, I would pretend like hell that it was the best thing since the wheel.
That is correct. That is correct.
Yeah. Well, speaking of food and the best thing since whatever, and inventions and shit.
What a segue.
Let's
you want to take that one again?
I don't know how with time we've become worse at this. Am I just,
you know, here's the segue. Let's back up a little bit. So, and what I'll do, I'll give you 20 random items from my house. And you know what? I'll put a golden ticket in one out of every five of these that I sell.
Speaking of random items,
and golden tickets.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Okay. Take it again. Take three and action.
Hey, speaking of golden tickets, let's talk about Wonka.
I've spent the past 7 years traveling the world perfecting my craft. You see, I'm something of a magician, inventor, and chocolate maker. So quiet up and listen down. Nope, scratch that, reverse it.
Mr. Wonka, I can see you're a man of great ingenuity.
What are you doing?
I'm making chocolate, of course. How do you like it? Dark, white, nutty, absolutely insane.
Many people have come here to sell chocolate. They've all been crushed by the chocolate cartel. You can't get a shop without selling chocolate, and you can't sell chocolate without a shop.
No daydreaming.
What are we gonna do, Willy?
Huh.
Huh?
Huh.
A double huh.
Do you have a pencil and paper?
Uh-huh.
I got an idea. I know things haven't been easy for you. They're gonna get better.
You promise?
I pinky promise. That's the most solemn vow there is.
Where do we start?
A good chocolate chip is simple.
Where's this?
It's just weird.
What's happening? Oh, that's a chocolate that makes it fly.
Well, let's find out, shall we?
Who's for a hoverjob?
Nothing to see here. Just a small group of people defying the laws of gravity.
Ladies and gentlemen of the Gallery Gourmet, my name is Willy Wonka.
He's good. Too good.
Pretty sure I've gained about 150 pounds in the last 2 weeks.
You could change her life, Mr. Wonka. Change all their lives.
Run away!
Every good thing in this world started with a dream. So you hold on to yours.
Go, Mama.
Mark my words. This is going to be the greatest chocolate shop the world has ever seen.
So you're the funny little man who's been following me.
I will have you know that I am a perfectly respectable size for an Oompa Loompa.
An Oompa what now?
Allow me to refresh your memory.
Oh, I don't think I want to hear that.
Too late. I've started dancing now. Once we've started, we can't stop.
The crazy thing about Wonka was, like, you know, I'm getting hammered with marketing for it right around the time that Dune is out, you know, and because it's like coming to Max, and I'm sitting here watching Succession. And if it isn't that fucking T-Mobile commercial playing from the Super Bowl with Jason Momoa and the guys from Scrubs, if it isn't that playing or a promo for The Regime, the Kate Winslet show, it's Wonka. Well, that's the craziest thing I've ever heard. Huh? It's just Timothée Chalamet being a completely different character than Paul Atreides. And
yes,
it's confusing and scary.
Yes. Well, no, it's a good point though. You really can't escape the marketing of Wonka and Dune. It's like right now, Timothée Chalamet, we'll talk about this in a minute. I do want to touch on this, but like Timothée Chalamet, I just slurred that name terribly. Timothée Chalamet is having a moment right now.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about it in a minute. But yeah, so Wonka came out at the end of 2023 and is written and directed by Paul King, who you may know from the Paddington films.
I love the Paddington films.
Yeah, which is when I didn't know that, and I had no interest in seeing this movie. And then I heard about that and I was like, oh, okay, sure. Yeah. I'll watch this. And like, I just seen Dune 2, so like, and Dune 1.
Do you know what else this guy directed?
What's that?
I'm looking at it now. He directed all 20 episodes of The Mighty Boosh.
Oh, okay.
Which I haven't seen.
I haven't seen that either, but like every theater kid loves it.
Everyone loves old Greg.
Yes, that's right.
I've had two bosses named Greg, and they both are keenly aware of old Greg.
Yeah. Yep. But yeah, so I couldn't escape this. And I was like, you know what? I like Timothée Chalamet. Even if his old statistics videos are cringy, but
I didn't watch that yet. What is that about?
I guess he went to this school for the arts when he was in high school. So it was like a pretty, you know, it's a traditional like public school, sure. but they focus on the arts. And
which
so,
is guaranteed even more cringe than college art students, because these are high school art students. Even less self-aware.
Yes. He did a rap that was like about his statistics class, and it's so cringy. I don't know how this is online, but it's so crazy.
I'm not sure how his agent hasn't threatened litigation.
Cease and desist.
Because he went to school when there were smartphones. So
correct. Well, like, yeah, no, I'm so glad that all of my little sketches aren't available anywhere, because they're awful. Like, you're 18. Your brain ain't fully developed yet. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like, you're not even a person. And but yeah, like, I like Timothée Chalamet. And so I was like, you know what? I'm going to give this a shot, because I like Paul King and Timothy's great. And like, I'll give this a shot. Right. I think in the end I gave it like three and a half stars. I think it's fine. Mm-hmm. For those of you who I guess are unaware of this, this is a prequel to Roald Dahl's Wonka story, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. And more specifically, drawing inspiration from the 70s film Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, which stars Gene Wilder. It is the story of Willy Wonka, who is a young man played by Timothée Chalamet, who comes to a nondescript place. It's kind of British, but kind of American, but kind of French, but kind of, it's just something. It's just a place. And so he goes there, and they're known for the best chocolatiers in the world. And he opens up shop with dreams of, you know, making his mother proud. She was she and Willy lived on this like boat or something. And she, you know, worked like a, you know, just this little degrading job. But when she saved up enough money over the course of the year, she would then use that money to buy ingredients to make a chocolate bar for Willy Wonka on his birthday every year. So he grew up with like this affinity to chocolate, but not really the ability to have it. And, but his mom was a great chocolatier. So he has decided to make her proud and open up this, you know, thrilling chocolate factory. And he encounters some trouble, which is a little bit contrived, but he has no place to stay. And so he goes to this like little boarding house place and stays for the night, but he doesn't read the fine print of the contract he signs, which basically says,
relatable.
Yeah. Which basically says, yes, you know, the rent is like 1 shilling or whatever it is. I agree to any fees that they may add later. And so he wakes up the next morning and the 1 shilling is turned into like 100,000.
Oh my God.
Is what he owes.
Terms and conditions.
Yeah. And so they're like, well, you just have to be our slave now forever. And so he meets like a ragtag group of other slaves who didn't read the fine print. And he decides to like, you know, break out, make his money. Like he's going to do this legally. He's like, mm-hmm. okay, well then I'll just go make that money and then I'll pay you off. And so he, that's the whole story. Like he finds these friends and tries to, you know, get his chocolate thing off the ground. Cool. It's fine. It's, you know, paint by numbers. It's a little long, but I think everybody here does a fine job. And the thing is like halfway through the film, I found myself really enjoying it. And thinking like, this is really sweet. It's very Paddington-ish. Yeah. And it's a musical. So there's one specific musical number in it where you're like, this feels like Paddington. You'll know it when you see it. Mm. And it's like, oh, this is really cool. And I like this. And it's, you know, just kind of endearing.
Free of cynicism.
Yeah, whatever Paul King, however he's able to do this, he's able to like bypass all the adult like cynicism and like inhibitions you've built up over the years and like just chip away straight to like your 7-year-old self.
He seems like he had the best childhood ever.
Right, or the worst, and he's like,
he's, I will create happy memories for the world forever.
I will make everyone else happy.
Fuck you, Dad.
and he's really good at it. Like it was such a feel good like moment, and the musical number, and it feels really great. The movie doesn't stay there though. Like for me, it starts to decline, and as he gets mired down in both the plot with the boarding house and the rivalry between Willie and the other chocolatiers, it gets really bogged down in like. I don't know, this zany type of escalation that should work, but it kind of just feels forced in a weird way. And like I said, the whole plot with the boarding house feels contrived from scene one. So by the time it reaches its escalation, you just kind of feel like, I don't know if I really buy this. Like it doesn't really feel like it fits thematically. The fact that he has to claw his way up from out of this weird contract or whatever. Like, I'm not really sure that's, it feels like it's left over from a draft that they abandoned a while back.
Like, Willie, so, I'm pretty sure you can sue these people because this is outrageous. There's no way they'll get away with this.
Yeah.
You don't have to be their slave, Willie.
Exactly. And I'm just like, it's just so strange. And so, you know, like I said, it feels contrived. It feels a little forced. And so it kind of starts to lose the goodwill that it had built up in that whole first half where it feels, you know, really, it feels like a 90s movie kind of. It's really carefree and really like, I don't know, just kind of lighthearted and earnest. And then it just kind of gets bogged down in too much process and too many characters and too much just too many things happening all at once. And I think that kids will probably really enjoy that. But for me, I found myself checking out and thinking of the screenwriter rather than being as engrossed in the film as I was. Like I'm thinking, I can see why the screenwriter did this, but it's not working. And so for me, it's a little bit of a mixed bag. Like it's good enough, and the goodwill of the first half really carries it, but the bad will of the second half sticks with you. And I found myself, like I said, just kind of bored by the second half. I think it's fine. The main thing that I want to talk about is Timothée Chalamet, who I just talked about. Like, I like him. I think he's a great actor. And I think he's going to be, you know, a bright star in Hollywood for a while. I don't think this was his role. And it's not because he lacked the ability, or it's not because he lacked the chops for it. I think was miscast from the jump. And I think part of that is it was the character itself is miswritten. They wrote this character in a very Paddington-esque way where everybody's really sweet. And this character specifically, Willy Wonka, is very sweet and very endearing and kind and, you know, kind of like a child at heart.
I think he should have been British.
Well, but Gene Wilder wasn't.
Well, for this sensibility, for this director and this type of script and the voice that he seems to do well.
Yeah, it's a good point. But it felt to me so disparate from what we, and again, I've never read Roald Dahl's original story, but the image in my brain of Willy Wonka is this man who's a little bit unhinged, or maybe a lot unhinged. You know, this is a man who doesn't care that children are essentially dying in his factory. So like, but what's great about Gene Wilder and to a lesser extent, the Johnny Depp version, which I know I've seen that, but I don't really remember it much. They both played it childish.
Yeah.
But also like Gene Wilder went in like this almost, there's a reason why you can recut the like a trailer from that movie in a horror style.
Right.
Because the way Gene Wilder played it is so unhinged. It's deranged.
Mm-hmm.
And Johnny Depp played it in this weird, like, silly deranged, if that makes sense.
I don't know. So I don't know if he ever, I remember when Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory came out, I remember that people were saying that Johnny Depp's portrayal was very Michael Jackson-y.
Yeah, I can see
that.
And
it was because of like the hair and the face and whatever, and maybe like the higher voice. But I don't remember if he said that there was any inspiration, but what I can tell is that there was some kind of like stunted growth, childhood Neverland Ranch aspect to that portrayal because Gene Wilder played him as a full blown adult who was kind of sadistic, maybe.
Yes. Yeah.
Yep. But like, he could function in the world as an adult needed. Yep. He just had no tolerance or patience. He was too brilliant to function in the real world. And it was almost ironic that his products and his brand catered to children, a segment of the population he probably can relate little to.
Sure.
Right. Whereas the Johnny Depp one was like stunted, like this person never had a childhood, never developed beyond childhood.
Yeah.
You know,
he's masquerading as an adult.
Yeah, he's playing dress up as an adult, but doesn't understand, is mentally ill.
Totally. Well, and so then you have, like I said, then you have Timothy Chalamet's performance, which is very sweet and kind and generous and naive. And that very much fits in Paul King's Paddington style.
Yeah.
But it's so different from all of the Willy Wonka performances before. And yet it's still so, not derivative. That's not the right word, but like it's pulling so heavily inspiration from Gene Wilder's version in terms of how he dresses, in terms of like the visual landscape, a little bit like what the Oompa Loompas look like. You see glimpses of what would eventually maybe be the factory in his brain. Mm-hmm. And it's reminiscent of Gene Wilder's factory. So it's like it's pulling so heavily from that it almost begs the question, does Timothy Chalamet grow up to be Gene Wilder?
Right.
Is this a prequel in that sense? And in that way, I think it fails miserably because this character can't become that.
Yeah, he's too earnest.
This character's too earnest. There's like a whole subplot where, it's kind of a main plot. He befriends this girl named Noodle, who is another slave in this boarding house thing. And he and Noodle like have this sweet little friendship, and he's like, you know, giving her some empowerment and helping her kind of, you know, discover herself. And he's very sweet and genuine to her. That then when you say, oh, but then when the other girls that tour his factory later basically die, he's like, well, you lost. Oh, too bad. It's like this doesn't, there's no congruency there.
Yeah.
So for me, you have to, even though the film repeatedly begs you to remember the Gene Wilder version, you have to divorce yourself from it.
Yeah.
You can't bring that into play. Now, as somebody who loves that Gene Wilder film, it's very hard to do that. I love that movie. I grew up on that movie. I've seen that movie so many times. And the music is all super memorable, and they have it here. Like the Oompa Loompa song is in this film. Pure Imagination is in this song. Is in this movie. So they're repeatedly begging you to connect these two movies that by their tones and characterization cannot be connected. Mm. And so that to me is kind of a big stumbling block of where I would say like this fails as a prequel. If it was its own thing in the way that Tim Burton's version was its own thing, then I think it would have been a perfectly, you know, standard, you know, movie. But because it's doing the current Hollywood thing of like, we got to remind you of the things you love.
Well, the current Hollywood thing of, is it connected? I don't know. Do you want it to be? We have plausible deniability.
Yeah, right. I'm not going to say yes. I'm not going to say no.
Yeah.
It's up to you.
We're going to wait to see what the box office says. And then later we'll retroactively justify it as a prequel if you liked it. And if you didn't, we'll go, hey, we never intended to make a prequel. You won't find our fingerprints on this thing. You can't, you'll never catch us. We wiped ourselves. We wiped it all down before we left.
Yes, exactly. But yeah, man, like it's fine. You just have to forget everything you know about Willy Wonka, which again, for me is hard because I love that original movie.
Yeah.
And I think it's brilliant, but it's brilliant for a lot of reasons, but chiefly because of Gene Wilder's performance. He's the character you remember. And that's the reason why the story is called Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, but they changed it to Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
Mm-hmm.
Because they knew, like, Willy Wonka is the standout character.
This ain't about Charlie.
It's not about Charlie. It is about Charlie, but it's not about Charlie. Like, he's not the one you're going to remember.
Have you ever seen them zoom in on Charlie's teeth and been a kid doesn't belong in a chocolate factory?
Yeah, it looks like a little chihuahua.
Yeah, I was like, oh.
Yeah.
Oh, they're bad.
It looks like he was, like, in the process of getting veneers, and he'd, like grinded all the teeth down, but just hadn't gotten the implants yet.
Yeah. They're on back order. Come back tomorrow.
But I got a movie to film.
I have to shoot tomorrow.
Well, too bad.
Maybe he got the veneers, and then he was hit in the face with a bat.
Could be. Knocked them all back off.
This poor child who grew up in the 70s clearly didn't have...
Yeah, right.
Didn't have a leg up on teeth.
Yes, exactly.
Because he was a little British kid. Was he?
But yeah.
Wait a minute.
No, he wasn't British. But
great. I was wrong and I was bigoted.
The worst combination.
The only thing worse than being a bigot is being an incorrect bigot.
Incorrect bigot. Have you seen Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, the original?
Yeah. Yeah. At some point I did. Yeah.
But it's been a while. Many people like saw it as
it's
a kid.
Fine. It was one of those like the Goonies where I watched it and I was like, all right, leave me alone.
Yeah. I love it. I think it's a great movie. Yeah. And like, it's just so hard to see this as the same character. And I'd heard it said, I mentioned this in my Letterboxd review. I heard this said, and while I was, before I saw the movie, like I read this somewhere and I was like, oh, I can't get it out of my brain. Is that Jeremy Allen White from The Bear should have played Willy Wonka in this.
People are convinced that he is Gene Wilder's grandson.
Yeah. Like reincarnated.
Even though he's been like, no. I'm not related to him. They're yes, you are. Lying to us.
You do. It would have been fantastic because, not only does he look like Gene Wilder, just judging him off The Bear, because I've not seen Shameless, but like judging off The Bear, he is, which we'll review at some point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He is fantastic at like playing this tortured genius who is a lot of bit broken. And I think if you'd had that here and you started with a really broken Wonka who got redeemed in some way, then it, like, you don't fully redeem him, but you say like, there's good in him. Then like you fast forward all those years later and he's still a little deranged and he's dealing with his kids.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
He's on top.
But to start it as like he's sweet and end it with he's even sweeter. And then you fast forward a few years and he's killing kids in his factory. doesn't work.
He went through a few divorces. He went through
Mrs. Wonka took the bank.
I really had to cut down my overhead and hired these Oompa Loompas so I didn't have to pay anybody.
She took the recipe for the everlasting gobstopper.
My ex
took it straight to Slugworth.
That's that's not the only thing she gave to Slugworth. That whore. She even has the gall to keep my last name. Now it's Nancy Slugworth Wonka. You believe that shit? He's drunk talking to the Oompa Loompas. Like, can you believe that shit? He's drinking. Oompa, he's getting drunk oompa. on Choco Vine. We should have thought of this, by the way. I don't know why we. I don't know why I bought this at Trader Joe's. I should have been getting this out of the stock room. This.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. Let's buy this company. Oh, yes.
The last thing I do want to talk about too. Hugh Grant plays the Oompa Loompa in this. And he's, I guess this is like motion capture or something, but like he plays the Oompa Loompa. He's 10 inches tall, whatever, even though in the original, like they were just played by little people. They weren't 10 inches. They weren't like this big.
Anything to avoid casting little people.
That's exactly what I was going to say. I'm like,
you save money. If nothing else, look at it like money. Like, okay, if you don't want to cast little people, you could at least hide that bigotry and be like,
yes,
well, look, it's a cost saving measure.
I'm looking at it going, dude, in Hollywood, there are like two, no pun intended, two golden tickets for little people. It's Snow White and the Seven Dwarves, and it's Wonka.
Yeah.
And neither one of them is going to cast little people in this. No. And I'm like, why not?
There's
like,
so, this is so many fantasy films these days that used to, that was like the whole cottage industry for little people working, like the Ewoks and, you know, whatever else. And it's like, now we'll just do CG and we'll make them even smaller. We'll make them like Tinkerbell. And it's like, why?
Yes. The truth is, a little person should be able to play a typical every man.
You know what it is?
In the real world.
It's the fact that I feel like it's, well, yeah, not only because there's only like three famous household name little people, like Peter Dinklage, you know, not anymore Vern Troyer, but like, you know,
Warwick Davis.
There's only a few of them whose name you could put on a poster and be marketable. Yeah. But I guarantee you part of it is some executive looks at it and goes, is it bother anyone else that they're not all the exact same height and identical in the face?
But why do they have to be?
Exactly. Because we're not. Dustin, you and I are both sapiens, correct? We're both human beings.
And there's variety within sapiens.
We don't look the same because we don't have the same parents.
Correct.
So it's like, that's fine, right?
Yeah. Well, see, again, this is where every job, every like single job.
They're not clones. They're a race, you know?
Yeah, like, it's exactly. Some
diversity, at least
they
in height.
They come from Oompa Loompa land.
They should even be different shades of orange. We should have some light skin orange Oompa Loompas, some pretty dark ones.
Yeah, why not?
You know?
Sure. It doesn't matter.
Maybe, but I don't know. That could backfire.
It could. This is where every single job needs the person whose title is executive director of common sense.
Exactly.
And they're just like, oh, but they have to be all the same. No, they don't.
No, they don't.
No, they don't.
Why? Please tell me why. Give me one reason why in the story that they needed to be.
Money. Oh, I was just thinking it'd be cool. Nope. Doesn't matter.
Where are we going to find the little people? Everywhere. Shut up. What?
Hey, you know what's cheaper? Just hiring two people rather than one person that has to be worked double and digitally cloned by a team of visual effects artists.
What they paid Hugh Grant, they could have paid 100 little people.
But dude. Like, and Hugh Grant's not even that good in this. Like, he's just doing his thing. He can't even say Oompa Loompa right. And he's an Oompa Loompa. He sings the Oompa Loompa song. And might I remind you that song goes Oompa Loompa. And he sings it Oompa Loompa. And I'm like, you're not an Oompa Loompa, you idiot. Nobody caught this.
Would they lose the license? I can't say it.
No, it's just how Hugh Grant says it. He goes, I'm an Oompa Loompa. And I'm like, no, you're not. You're an Oompa Loompa. You're an idiot. This is ridiculous, Hugh Grant. There has to, like, Paul King allowed it. He could have said, I'm Paul sorry, King. Hugh, it's Oompa Loompa. It's two O's and an L in front of two O's. Oompa Loompa. Ah, the Oompa Loompas. No!
It's like that Super Bowl commercial. The director is like, it's like a good neighbor. Neighbor.
Yeah, right. Neighbor.
Neighbor. Paul King went home after like one day of that and told his wife, like, I'm not sure I'm ready to have like a big argument about how to pronounce Oompa Loompa with a man who was caught with like cocaine and hookers, you know? What do you think?
Right.
He's like, I think you should let it go. Okay.
Yeah. All right. I guess I will. Do you want to fire him? Oh, yeah. I can't
like, Paul, that. Listen, Paul, here's just the main question. Do you think Warner Brothers cares? Probably not. Okay. Do you care? Oh, totally. No, not at all.
Okay.
Well, then just let it go.
All right. Fair enough.
Because you know what, Paul? Because I don't care and I don't want to hear about it, especially if you don't care.
Right. But yeah, they definitely should have gotten just little people to play that role. It makes no sense that they didn't do that. Like all the roles that were originated in the source material, right? Willy Wonka, Oompa Loompa, and Slugworth. All of these roles feel miscast to me. And Slugworth, I forget who plays Slugworth. It is, I'm going to find out.
Patterson Joseph?
Yeah, there you go. So I don't know who this guy is.
He does not look like who I would cast.
No, well, he's not intimidating. And I don't know if you remember the original guy.
No, but I remember, but the name Arthur Slugworth, who's a corrupt rival.
Yeah.
You've got people in this cast who could have been Slugworth. You've got Matt Lucas in here.
Yeah.
Who looks like his Christian name is Slugworth, you know?
Yes. Oh, look, let me show you.
No offense to Mr. Lucas. I'm just.
This is not going to do anything for our audience at home, but I'm going to share my screen and I'm going to show you. This is the original Slugworth.
Oh.
Very like
he looks like he's about to open the Ark of the Covenant.
Right?
Yeah. He looks like a bad man.
Yeah, there's this level of intimidation when he approaches Charlie that's like, oh snap, like this dude is going to kill me.
Yeah.
And the Slugworth in this film never quite achieved that. And so all of these roles that were like that from the source material, they all felt a little bit miscast. But everybody else, like all of the characters that were created for this, were really great. And so that's just the weird catch 22 of the film. But look, it's fine. And again, the first half really is endearing, and it may, like, your mileage may vary. So it may carry you through to the end where you're like, you know what? Decent movie. Cool. Glad I watched it. For me, I'm like, yeah, decent movie. I probably won't ever watch it again.
Yeah.
And that's where I come down on it. And as somebody who's seen Tim Burton's version only once, but has seen the version that Gene Wilder did probably a dozen times, this doesn't hold a candle to that. So yeah, man, there you go. Wonka.
Yeah, it's tricky because like when you remake stuff, like there's no, like unless there was something that was like, the thing is, what is there to improve on a movie that you're remaking? And if the only answer is, well, we have better CGI now, then it's like, okay, well then probably nothing then, because if the movie is beloved and the story is fine, then having it look better rendered isn't really the answer. And so there was no way for this movie to be better than to measure up to the original. Like you said, what it could have done was lead into it better and connect to it better and supplemented it well. Instead, it's like a solid adaptation that unfortunately it sticks out like a sore thumb against the original because it tries to lead into it and is not consistent with it.
And I can see this. Yeah, exactly. And I can see this being a very, like, I can see the studio mandate. The studio execs sat around and said at Warner Brothers, what properties do we have that we can mine? And somebody said, Willy Wonka, that's popular. And they say, oh yeah, but we tried that once before and it didn't take. So what do we do? And you're like, oh, well then we'll do a prequel and we can kind of make our own story. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, this is a great idea. But what do we do with that pesky version from the 70s that's so beloved? Pesky. And somebody says, oh, well, here's what you do. You prequel reboot it where it's a reboot or a prequel, whatever you want it to be. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, cool. So we'll pull all of the things you love from that and we can stick those in a trailer. But at the same time, we're going to do our own thing that doesn't actually lead into it at all.
Yep.
Got it. And so it became like, I can just totally see the cynicism of how this came to be. And the fact that they hired Paul King was a step in the right direction because they said, great, we'll do something, you know, like clearly he's got a proven track record of being able to make things for kids. That's great. But what they didn't think of was, but he's so laser focused on creating and crafting things that are sentimental and honest and cute that they didn't think, oh, but that 70s version is really beloved because it's kind of creepy. And like the kids who saw it in the 70s are a little bit traumatized by it. And like that's why it's so beloved. And so, I think they just kind of missed the mark on it, but yeah, I mean, I totally agree. If had they just told me, is this a reboot or a prequel? And like, that was the thing, really double down on it, then I think it could have been fine. Not necessary, but it could have been fine. Mm-hmm. But the fact that it just kind of lingers in this no man's territory, it's not great. And of course, I want to talk about this too. I'm going to pull this up really quick. I should have had this up already. Timothée Chalamet is in the news right now because he just signed a first look deal with Warner Brothers. So coming off the success of the 1-2 punch success of Dune and Wonka, he evidently got a salary bump off the end of all of this, of $8 million. So, but he's now signed a first look deal with Warner Brothers to produce more. He's going to be acting and producing. The details have not been disclosed, so I don't know exactly how much. You can imagine it's in probably, tens of millions that he'll now be earning as he takes up residence at Warner Brothers, much in the way that Clint Eastwood did. He now has the ability to, anything he wants to get off the ground, he can get off the ground. And let's make no mistake, Warner Brothers is probably talking right now about a sequel to Wonka. And I think maybe the reason this doesn't lead directly into the Chocolate Factory is because, well, one, Chalamet is so much younger than Gene Wilder that the timeline wouldn't have made sense. But also, you got to think somebody somewhere said, but could we get another couple films out of Chalamet here and do Wonka 2 and 3 before Chocolate Factory? Now, none of that's been announced. I'm not saying there's a Wonka 2 in the works, but you got to think there's probably a Wonka 2 being talked about somewhere.
So I was going to say Wonka looks pretty, but I was going to say, bear in mind, Dustin, in the 70s, people looked way older than they were.
This is true.
How old would you say that the Wonka character in this film is?
In this film?
Yeah. Is he a teenager?
No, he's probably 25.
25. Okay. And how old is Timothée Chalamet? Timothée Chalamet is 28.
Okay.
How old do you think Gene Wilder was during the filming of Willy Wonka and Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory?
I think I'm going to go with maybe, just because I think he's probably younger than I think he is, I'm going to go 35.
38. Pretty close. 38.
Okay. All right.
I was going to guess 32. I was giving really? The 70s too much credit.
Yeah.
But yeah, still 38. The man looks, what these days would be 55.
50s. Yeah, right.
Yeah. But the character, at least apparently in that film, is 47. I don't know how people determine that, but
sure.
Anyway, they count the lines on his trunk.
Yes.
The you take off his candy hat. Cane. Yeah. The stripes on his candy cane. I'm pretty sure that's what he was doing to the last humans who worked for him, Dustin. Hey, you want to cut the stripes on the candy cane?
That's why the Oompa Loompas work for him now.
Yeah, exactly. That's a no human being
would subject themselves to that.
The absence of HR and of a living wage. And that's why the Oompa Loompas took up residence.
Yep. Well, HR is an Oompa Loompa. Imagine going to the HR department and it's an Oompa Loompa sitting there with little spectacles and a clipboard. Oh, man. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like there's probably going to be a Wonka 2 or a 3 and they'll, lead into the chocolate factory more directly later. But for now, like, it is what it is. And yeah, there you go. I think they bypassed something that's kind of key, though, which is they could have just made a Willy Wonka 2 and instead of this and did a direct sequel to the 70s version. And I think that probably would have been cooler, question mark, because at the end of Willy Wonka, he gives the factory to Charlie, like, okay, I'm going to, I, you know, I'm going to bequeath this to you. Okay, so let me see adult Charlie running this factory with like an older Wonka. Like,
oh man, they could have had Jesse Plemons play Charlie. he realizes like the factory makes you crazy.
Makes you crazy.
That's the problem. And then he tracks down Wonka and he's like, why didn't you tell me? And Wonka's played by like Christopher Lloyd. You know, he's like, I told you, if I had told you what it did, you never would have taken it from me. And the curse is yours now.
Yes.
This is already a better idea. Come on.
It's already a better idea. Good,
Jesse
Plemons. It really makes me miss Gene Wilder, though. I mean, yeah.
You'd have to ask Jesse Plemons to be fat again, though. Like,
yeah.
Come on.
From all the chocolate.
You run a chocolate factory.
Yeah.
What's all this skinny shit? What are you doing?
Right, exactly. We can't have a skinny Willy and a skinny
trying to be healthy. Yeah. Fuck all that. Right. You can't do that.
I just want to see Grandpa Joe is still there, but he's like 107 years old, like propped up by...
He looks like a scarecrow.
I love the chocolate. It's keeping me alive.
He's just that scarecrow from Spirited Away or whatever.
He's on a chocolate IV drip and he... He's being kept alive.
My liver is failing.
I'm pretty sure all my organs are chocolate, and they're being replaced.
What I need is fluids, and they have is chocolate.
Charlie, let me go. Let me die.
They have needles and IVs, but not fluids.
My heart is failing, Charlie. I'll just replace it with a chocolate heart, Grandpa Joe.
Charlie, my diabetes is so bad.
I'll give you more insulin. He's got a chocolate drip and an insulin drip.
This is still Jesse Plemons as Charlie. He's like tearing up his hat, like, why won't it work? Why can't I? Please, God. I'll do anything. Just spare my Grandpa Joe.
Grandpa Joe is sitting there in a reprise of his song from the other version. And he's like, I never thought that I could be anything but catastrophe.
And he starts weeping chocolate.
Chocolate tears.
The amazing chocolate tears.
Chocolate tears.
Yeah.
Well, here's to horror movies.
You know, I'll say this. It's really easy to shit on movies, but boy, is it fun sometimes.
it's really fun just to like think of like what's the craziest thing you can think of. And like I feel like
you and I missed a calling as really great career season writers for Funny or Die. If we'd been born like 10 years earlier and been in the job market, I think we'd be set for life. Right,
we'd have been on College Humor with
like Derek Comedy.
Yeah, with Amir and what's his name? I don't know. Ben Schwartz.
Well, that's Wonka, everybody.
That's Wonka.
Okay.
Yay.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.